ABC Local Radio Queensland with Money Matters. Steve Lowry talks to me each week here at ABC Tropical North. And Capricornia guys and girls, you get to hear him on occasion when you join us with our studio bringing you your program between now and 11 o'clock. And we were talking about superannuation and how much is enough, in that there was a time, no longer, that $1 million was a lot of money.
It's really funny you say that, Tegan. I had some clients in who just tipped over the $1 million mark. And I said, you're millionaires. And we laughed because it just doesn't mean as much anymore.
You're right.
$1 million isn't what it was like 20 years ago. But, you know, the big question that we often get asked is, how much money do I need to comfortably retire?
Mm-hmm.
So if I asked you that question, how much do you think you need?
Well, I don't know. I mean, at the moment, I spend every single cent that I earn each year, and there is no way in retirement I'm going to have that much money to play with. Mm. So I would like to think by then my house would be paid off. I wouldn't have any car loans. I would own all of the things in my house. So you might have your rates, some maintenance, and a phone bill, electricity, that kind of thing. I'd like to think I could live on maybe $30,000 a year, $40,000, not including my holidays, which I'd like to be on.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about some websites later, but on one of the ASIC websites, they have down for a single person you need around about $33,000 to have a modest lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
and for a couple it's about $58,000. But you know, the big question, to answer that question I've asked, you've really got to say, well, when am I going to stop work?
Mm.
And when will I be reliant on my capital to produce my income? What do I want to do when I stop work? Because, you know, it's not, we're banning the word retirement out of our financial practice.
Oh, and now it's when I stop work.
Well, it's the next horizon, isn't it? Like,
yes.
Retirement sounds like you're put out to pasture and you just wait to die. And that's not what that next horizon should be about. It should be a really exciting time. But as some of the conversations you and I have had over the past year, it's quite worrying when you think about, you know, the phase of life I'm in now is taking all of my resources.
Yes.
So the key is to really start to quantify those questions. So if you said to me, I need $60,000 a year in today's dollars, allowing for 3% inflation,
mm-hmm.
And you want to stop work at age 60, you're probably going to need somewhere around about $1.2 to $1.4 million.
Wow.
Just to achieve that, and that should last you at about age 90 if you're getting the right return on your money. So what do we do? So clients come in who in their 40s or even in their 50s.
What do you do?
Well, we sit down and go, all right, well, what are you doing now? And we have some fairly sophisticated software, and we pan out what their wealth journey would look like based on what they're doing right now. And we get that answer to the question, how much do you want to live on and what do you want to do when you go to that next horizon in your life? And then we calculate how much they need and how much they're going to have on their current strategy. And generally, there's going to be a gap.
I think there'd be a wide gap for a lot of people.
Well, there is. And the key is, you know, not sticking your head in the sand and going, well, I just won't deal with it because I can't do anything about it. It's about making good, small decisions between now and then to try to bridge that gap as much as possible. And then also, just look at the levers that you have. You know, if you can save a little bit more money, after you do your budget and you realise that you're probably spending more than what your fixed expenses are,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we call the holes in the bucket.
Yes.
So with a strategy, you might say, look, if we really knuckle down, seeing that gap, we could be quite motivated to save $5,000 a year, and that might be all you can do. But you could do that into super through salary sacrifice. That's going to make a big difference over the next 15 years, right?
And there's a lot of things that I think I've learned just from speaking with you about, you know, you said salary sacrifice. So contributing to your super before you're taxed, that changes right. The ball game a little bit. There are ways that you can maybe have your home loan but change a bank or change the loan, and that might save you a little bit of money here and there. You might still put that back into the home loan, but it means you're going to pay it off sooner. There are ways that you can get your insurances and put them all together in a package and still have all of the insurance that you need, but then it's going to cost you less because you're getting a package deal. It's all about being smart with our money.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You should be a financial advisor.
No, I should not.
So all of those things are right. We call it getting your whole financial house in order. And, you know, there's only X amount of things you can do. You know, if you're going to save your way towards having enough money for that next stage of your life, well, then salary sacrifice is a no-brainer.
Mm.
You know, you're putting money before tax into super at 15% tax rather than paying 34 or up to 48. So that's a real easy one. And the other side of the coin is if people say, oh, look, we can save $5,000 a year, that's after tax.
Mm.
So if you're doing a salary sacrifice strategy, you could probably save $7,500 a year and feel the same pain. So that's a key.
Feeling the pain, sometimes that is the barrier, isn't it, when it comes to our finances, and that it's almost too much and it's overwhelming and you think that you're going to never be able to have takeaway again and you can't ever go to the movies because it's not in the budget. That's the wrong kind of budget if that's where you're at, isn't it?
It is. And you know, we used to say we want our clients to live well and retire well. And with that focus, we don't want to see people, you know, for the next 15 years eating, you know, peanut butter and bread with no butter for the next,
yes,
15 years. That's crazy. But, you know, there has to be some form of discipline if you're going to bridge that gap. You've only got two choices: do something about it or don't do something about it. So for me, I think if you're doing some small things to try to fix that up, so we spoke about salary sacrifice, we spoke about budgeting, we spoke about going to your bank and shopping those loans around, which you've had for 5 or 10 years, and, you know, one phone call, you probably shave 0.5 off your home loan, and that's going to save you X, Y, Z. The other one is, what are you doing with your super? How's it invested?
Mm.
Are you being too conservative at this stage of your life? And should you be pushing for a higher return, potentially, on your money? Because, you know, it's going to be invested not only between now and when you choose not to work, it's going to then be invested for another 30 years after that. So your investment time horizon could be 50, 55 years. So if you get that right, if you make sure that... you know, a lot of people have got insurances in their super funds, and you know, they don't really consider the fact that that's taking your savings away, that money. And often we find that people are overinsured. So, you know, getting all that looked at as well is going to take some pressure off and give the ability to make some decisions.
When we're starting out, though, that can just be so overwhelming. You know, you're not even ready to go to a financial advisor yet because you don't even really know what you're doing. You've actually got some advice on places that we can go, have a look, get our head around it first, and then kind of work out what our personal next step is.
Yeah, look, I think the probably the challenge, and I'm always remind myself when new clients come in, that it can be a very scary and embarrassing situation to go, and you put your whole life, and you said to me before,
yep,
I've been working 20 years.
Yeah, I'm like, 20 years, and this is what I have in my super. Like, really? This is not enough. It's not enough.
Yeah.
I need to do something about it.
Yeah, that's right. But you know, put that in front of somebody and have to sit there and feel like, my God, they're going to judge me because I haven't managed my money well.
And it's confronting as well, just the conversation that we had. You know, what if your husband isn't around? What do you mean my husband won't be around? What are you talking about? And then you think, oh, wait, that actually is that's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's all of those things you have to take into account, and it makes life kind of a bit too real sometimes for us to handle.
Well, it does. I remember a few weeks ago we had Suze Brown on from McKay Solicitors, and you know, she was talking about estate planning, and when you sit down and do your wills, which, you know,
yeah, I've done that also,
and with myself with a blended family, it's really challenging, and you've got to start thinking about some real things. But on the financial side, what I do know is most successful businesses, the ones that survive, particularly small businesses, have a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the whole thing about financial planning is having your own personal business plan and looking at your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, and plugging the threats, taking advantage of the opportunities, and really maximizing your strengths. If you can do that into a plan and just get some actions that you can do this year and some actions you can do the year after, and you keep doing that, you're going to be in a better position. There's no two ways about it.
Some websites to get us started. You've got some of those with you today.
I do. So there's no excuse to not, you know, be clued up a little bit on most of the things we're speaking about on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the great sites is Money Smart, and that's on the Australian Securities and Investment Commission's website. And there's a whole lot of different documents on there. And one I bought today is Financial Decisions at Retirement. So if you're 3 years out and you're just worrying about these things, you can go onto that website, print that document out or have a read of it online. It's really good stuff. The Financial Planning Association have a website called Money Matters, and on there there's information for young people on how to save, budget, deal with their superannuation.
I've actually had a little squeeze on that website from information you gave me earlier, and what's really heartening about that is it's written in people, not in finance. So it's actually understandable for the average person.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, you don't. It doesn't have to be complicated. But when you start getting your head around some of the terms, what is a transition to retirement pension?
Mm.
You know, what is that? It's really good explanation on what that means. And it means that at a certain age, when you actually have access to your super, you're able to pull money out of your super up to 10% a year. Why would you do that? Because you're taking that money out, which has been taxed at 15%,
mm-hmm.
and then you can salary sacrifice the and same put or more a back bit in. More back in.
Right.
Great strategy, right?
Yes.
So you get clued up on some of those little things that are in the bag of most good financial advisors. So when you do go and talk to somebody and they start talking about these things, at least you've got some information. And I think, you know, it's up to us to be educated, but I think everybody needs a good advisor.
And please do remember that the advice and situations discussed in Money Matters are of general nature, and for information specific to your situation, contact your preferred accountant or financial advisor.